I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Surprise, surprise. Jag är tillbaka med skräckbokcirkeln ännu en gång. Och innan vi börjar med det här avsnittet som, ja, idag det är mer ett reportage än en regelrätt intervju, så vill jag ge er en liten varning. I det här avsnittet kommer vi prata om våld och i vissa fall utnyttjande av minderåriga. Därför råder jag dig som är känslig att stänga av och vänta på nästa veckas avsnitt. Jag har läst en bok som heter Jakten. Och den berättar en historia om hur en ensam hackare bidrog till att attackera en av världens största hemsidor innehållande övergreppsmaterial mot barn. Så här står det på baksidan av boken. I internets mörkaste vrår samlas grupper av män som delar förbjudna bilder i skydd av nätets anonymitet. Det är i alla fall vad de tror. Tills en svensk hackare ger sig in i leken. Alex bestämmer sig för att sätta dit en av männen. Hon börjar kartlägga varje steg han tar och sakta drar snaran åt. Men när jakten intensifieras inser hon att den har ett högre pris än hon hade kunnat ana. Plötsligt står hennes eget liv på spel. I den här sanna historien berättar den anonyma hackaren Alex om hur de blev pedofiljägare på nätet och om uppdraget som förändrade allt. Vi lever ju i en värld där digitala hot och internetattacker blir allt vanligare. Och på det viset så är det avgörande att vi förstår hur det fungerar. Och att vi lär oss hur vi ska skydda oss online. Eftersom temat i boken är verkligt. Och det är ganska hemska människor som Alex har gett sig på. Då har vi valt att fullständigt anonymisera henne. Det är hennes röst, men med en röstförvrängare, för allt för att göra det anonymt, kan vi säga. För det här är människor som är hemska och man vet helt enkelt inte vad de skulle få för sig att göra. Vi drar till intervjun. Då kan vi börja med, vad vill du att vi ska kalla dig?
Alex. It's my pen name, so the things that I have done and the things that we are going to discuss today are illegal, and there are things that I've done to certain people who I write about, who would be very upset with what I've done and would probably try to harm me if they found out who I am.
Det är Alex riktiga röst, men vi har förvrängt den. Och för att inte lämna ut någon dialekt eller liknande så pratar hon engelska. Rösten är förvrängd eftersom det är väldigt onda människor som vi inte vet vad de kan komma och ta sig till ifall identiteten röjs. Vad jobbar du med?
I am a software engineer and I maintain legacy systems at a company at the moment.
Okej, och ska man säga att du arbetar inom internetsäkerhet då, ungefär?
No, I don't work within security at all. I build systems, basically. I'm a programmer.
Då undrar jag, vad är din relation till skräck, skräckfilm, skräckböcker?
So, when I grew up, my mom used to buy me horror books, like very vanilla kind of horror stories for kids. And every Friday, we would go to a rental store and we would rent a VHS. And for some reason, it would always end up being a horror movie. So that's sort of how I got introduced to horror. And then I have this weird love for the alien movies, especially the first one.
Okej, okay, om du skulle säga en absolut favoritskräckfilm, vilken skulle du säga det är då?
Well, either the alien movie or Ghost Ship, actually. I really like. You know the scene with the, what do you call it? You know the scene where they all get cut in half.
Ja, vi gillar, i stort sett alla som har varit med i podden på något sätt gillar slasherfilm, så det är ju ungefär samma sak. Eftersom du inte arbetar heltid som en typ av författare, så undrar jag, hur kom du in på hacking?
Och med hacking så syftar vi till möjligheten att bryta sig in i datorsystem eller knäcka koderna till en programvara. Det är olika exempel på hack.
I always think that it's a combination between me watching the movie Hackers in the 90s.
Hidden beneath the world we know is the world they inhabit.
Dave?
Yeah, Ma?
What are you doing?
I'm taking over a TV network.
I'll finish up, honey, and get to sleep.
And then my parents sort of introduced me to computers in the 90s. You know, we got a home PC, and eventually I was allowed to start, you know, tinkering and experimenting with that. And my dad, he used to bring home all sorts of weird technology because he was a tech nut himself. And then I think it was sort of that way that the spark was ignited by the movie that I watched, that I got very into that movie. I liked the whole, the concept of the hacker, you know, breaking things, getting into places they shouldn't. And then when I got a computer, I was suddenly in that world. I could try these things myself, obviously very very basic in the beginning, but you know, it evolved over time, of course.
Jag har tittat mycket på scambaiting på nätet, och det har kommit över tre typer av hackare som de kallar sig. De kallar sig för etiska hackare, grey hats och black hats. En black hat hacker är en person som bryter sig in i datorer och nätverk med avsikt att skada eller förstöra eller kanske till och med tjäna pengar på det. Och en white hat hacker, det är alltså en etisk hackare eller goda hackare. Och det är motsatsen till black hats, för de här arbetar ofta inom nätverkssäkerhet. De kanske hackar ett system, ett företag eller vad man nu kan tänka sig. Men då berättar de det för personen eller företaget som de har hackat. Och sen har vi grey hat hackers. Och det är de som är mitt emellan lagligt och olagligt. Man kan jämföra dem med Robin Hood i hackervärlden.
I would consider myself a grey hat in the sense that I try to do good, but I'm not afraid to break the rules to make sure a pedophile or some other criminal get caught.
Jag kom in på Nextory och hittade en bok som heter Jakten. Och den har du skrivit om din jakt på en pedofil. Och då undrar jag här, hur fick du idén att just skriva ner upplevelserna?
It was a close friend of mine who's actually featured in the book. He has mentioned a few times over the years, because, you know, he sometimes he would get updates on, you know, my work and how far I was in you know, tracking this specific pedophile. And eventually, you know, he would start saying that this is insane. You should write about this. And in the beginning, you know, like many years ago, I would just brush it off. Like, no one wants to hear about this horrible crap, you know. And then he would keep saying it, you know, year after year. And then eventually now he and another person in our group would say the same thing. When that person heard about it, they were like, oh, my God, you have to write about this. And then I contacted the publisher and, well, the rest is history. They were interested and here we are.
Ungefär hur långt årsspann är det boken behandlar?
I mean, it's hard. It describes all of my life, parts of my life when I was young up until now. So that's like more than 30 years.
hur lång tid tog det för dig att samla ihop material och skriva boken?
The main text took 2 weeks to write, and then it was basically a few months of editing back and forth because the publisher wanted to change this and change that, you know.
Nu är det så att boken handlar om ganska grova händelser och upplevelser som du har varit med om. Och jag satt, när jag läste den så satt jag där i bakgrunden och bara, hur fasen orkade du?
I didn't. I thought I did because I was so focused on my goal of tracking these people down and getting them caught. But in the end, it resulted in many years of therapy to process all the horrible things I saw. And I mean, I consider myself, I don't know if you can say cured today, but I consider myself, you know, finished with processing the trauma of that. I try not to... start any new hunts of that type of person anymore, because I'm afraid I will you know see more or even more horrible things.
Hur kunde du hålla motivationen uppe under den här jakten? För jag menar, den är ändå över flera år som du jagar den här personen. Hur kunde du hålla dig motiverad?
Neurodevelopment disorder. I have a disorder that makes me hyperfocus on things that I find interesting. So I can stay interested in certain topics for many years, and just learn everything there is to learn about it. And it will, you know, vary. It varies a lot. But hunting people on the internet is one of the few things that I have sort of kept focused on for most of my adult life at least.
Hur kunde det här påverka dig just i vardagen när du satt och jagade efter den här personen?
It did. It affected me a lot. To the point where I once considered suicide, simply because I didn't know what to do with myself. I sort of came into this weird loop of hating myself because I felt I wasn't doing enough to stop these people. But of course, I was younger then, and I know now that there are ways to deal with these feelings and, you know, people to talk to and so on to process all of this. But at the time, I was alone and I didn't really know. I didn't have the resources or, I guess, the capacity to figure out where I should turn to get help.
Men kan du berätta lite om hur du gjorde? Ja, men då på detaljplan är det ju inte så lätt för folk att förstå, men... Eller hur kom du i kontakt med den här personen från första början? Det är det jag tänker på.
Long story short. It started with me just deciding that I wanted to try to, you know, piece together the puzzle of finding people online. And I started by just finding other random criminals that did other types of crimes via using the internet. But then... I don't know, I didn't get the kick from that I wanted. It was difficult. It took a very long time. I didn't really get anywhere. So then an acquaintance or internet friend or whatever you want to call it on a forum I was hanging on at the time told me that he was working with traumatized children in Thailand who have been abused by people, and that when he was helping these people and investigating and helping the, you know, the police and everything, he got a list of websites from someone where pedophiles would gather to, you know, share material or discuss and, you know, whatever, and told me that, you know, put your skills to good use, check out if you can do anything with this list. So that's what I did. I went through the whole list, you know, one item after the other to see if there anything here that would be, you know, it's kind of like when you want to get into a system or a website, the bigger and more complex it is, the more likely it is that you will find a way in, because complexity brings, you know, risk to vulnerabilities that you can exploit. So eventually I found this website called Prime Jailbait, which was an insane website in the sense that it was out there on the internet, you know, the clear internet. It wasn't on the dark net or anything. And it was just people posting, not nude, but lightly clothed pictures of little girls, basically. Yeah, so I basically dug into that. I got into the website eventually, and I just pulled out the whole database of all of their users, and then I could see who was the most active user, who uploaded the most, and so on. And there were two people, one in America and one in Norway. And so the most active one was an American, and the second one was the Norwegian man. And since the Norwegian one was a lot closer, I mean, I lived pretty close to the Norwegian border at the time, I figured he would be my target. And then that was the right choice, because it turned out he was an absolute horrible person and a monster, basically. I think he has been released now. I think he was released this spring, actually. But he has been in prison twice now because of this.
Om man är som en vanlig internetanvändare, vad bör man tänka på rent säkerhetsmässigt?
Use a password manager. Use two-factor authentication.
Då ska jag komma med lite översättningar här åt er. En password manager är en lösenordshanterare. Exempel på det är LastPass. Och en lösenordshanterare förvarar alla dina lösenord i samma inloggning. Och den kan också generera lösenord som är mer säkra än om du bara väljer sommar 37. Här pratar vi om långa lösenord. Och tvåfaktors autentisering, det är när du dels har ett lösenord och dels måste du utföra något extra för att kunna logga in. Här kan du göra på bland annat Facebook när du ska ställa in tvåfaktor autentisering. Då får du ett sms med en kod när du ska logga in på Facebook.
Learn how to, I mean, if you're a little bit paranoid about people reading your emails and stuff, learn how to check the security settings in, you know, your Gmail or Hotmail or whatever, because there you can see all the logged in devices. And if someone else is logged into your email, you will be able to see them in that list of logged in devices. And you will be able to log out devices from that list as well, which is very useful. It's the usual security recommendations, I guess. You know, don't reuse your passwords. Stop using easy passwords. You know, never use summer followed by the year and so on. Those old classics. Keep your shit updated. Don't click random links. Don't download stuff that you don't know, you know. Don't pirate games, actually, and software, because, you know, the cracks that you usually download to be able to use the downloaded games and software?
Mm-hmm.
Those are usually packed with malware. It's very common that they carry malware with them.
Då har vi översättning nummer två. Crack, det innebär att man låser upp en demonstrationsversion utav ett program.
Det vill säga den filen, crackfilen, den har med sig malware som härstammar från malicious software, och det är en skadlig programvara helt enkelt. Och alla typer av malware har ett gemensamt karaktärsdrag, och det är att de är skapade för att skada systemet. Det är en vanlig sak brottslingar gör när de sprider skräp i cyberattacker.
Yeah, we should be careful with that. I mean I've pirated stuff myself. I don't really care that much about that, but it's more like if you're gonna use pirated software, be very careful. Like install it in a virtual machine or something first, because the crack files can sometimes be, carrying disease.
I en vanlig ordning då så brukar vi prata om minst en film var som vi tycker behöver uppmärksammas. Och jag tänkte fråga dig då om du har sett någon bra skräckfilm som du eller film som du tycker är värd att nämna.
So I'm gonna actually go back to what I said before, because I love that movie so much. I haven't watched any new ones recently because I've been so busy with other, you know, life stuff. But I always go back to the Alien movies every single year, and I always watch them on VHS. and I want to mention two scenes in the first movie that I love. And I don't think it's the scene that one would normally expect, you know, like when you first see the xenomorph or something. It's actually the first one is the just in the beginning of the movie, you know, when the ship gets into the Nostromo gets into view, and you see the inside of the ship for the first time, and all of the little computers and gadgets start to boot up. You know, it's the silence and the little beeping sound in the background. For some reason, I just find that scene, how do you say it, calming. I don't know. It's such a cozy scene to me. And I just love it. All the old technology just clicking and booting up. And I don't know. It's just, I love that scene so much. And then the second scene is when they first enter the alien ship and find the dead / fossilized space traveler in his seat. And for me, I remember seeing that scene for the first time and somehow feeling excited over the thought that, okay, there aren't just the humans and the xenomorphs in this movie. There are other creatures out there as well, you know, that we could potentially get to see sometime, which we didn't, but still, well, later in the newer movies, of course, but not in those.
Jag brukar alltid låta författarna få säga en egen hälsning och göra lite reklam för arbeten, dela lite sociala medier. Men då kan jag fråga så här, har du någon ny bok på gång?
It's interesting because I wrote an answer here. So I don't really have any social media or stuff like that. But I am working on a second book actually. Simply because I have more things I want to tell. And because my work is far from over, there are still people on the internet that needs to be caught. So I am still working on chasing. I won't tell you who I'm chasing, but I'm chasing someone. And I will probably be writing about that if I deem it safe, basically. The people I'm hunting right now are a little bit more dangerous than the last one, so I haven't decided of exactly how I will write it, but I will write something. And the current book will probably be released in Norway soon. We're also, yeah, I know, that's kind of ironic. Funny. Maybe he'll read it, you know? and we're working on an international release in English as well.
Definitivt i USA. Då får du nästan leta upp adressen till de andra och skicka ut boken till dem bara för att. Liksom.
Yeah, exactly. Find the owner of Prime Jailbait and send it to him.
Tack för att du vågade kliva ur din comfort zone som smått anonym hacker och prata med en liten filmpoddare som mig.
I found it very, it was fun. I like it. I don't often get to talk about my favorite movies.
Det var allt för denna gång. Tack igen till Alex som
dels lärde oss lite och även berättade om en extremt spännande bok. Du kan läsa mer om boken Jakten på skräckfilmscirkeln.com där du också hittar alla sätt att kontakta oss och stödja oss. Musiken idag kommer från Mocha, Arthur Vanky, Keys of the Moon och Stream Lucky. Och så jag. Du har lyssnat på Skräckbokcirkeln med mig Patrik. Adjö på er.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.